from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style. Here's John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Here in the loop, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, I'm Reginald Adetula. And joining us, as he will every Tuesday, this right about this time, B. Scott, what's happening, man?
Man, I'm just glad to be here, man. I've been enjoying y'all. Y'all sounded amazing over the last, let's call it, day and an hour.
Okay, sounds
okay.
Good.
Okay, I'll
so
take that.
I've appreciated. One thing that I learned over this time, Reggie, since, you know, the transition and getting you here, mm-hmm. is that, like, I've done the show, obviously, mm-hmm. but I enjoy listening just as much as I enjoy talking. And brother, I like to talk a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel you.
So I enjoyed yesterday about as much as I enjoy being here with y'all. So I enjoy this whole process and I'm looking forward to y'all and this journey, man.
Coming from you, that's the ultimate compliment. Because I can confirm he really enjoys talking.
I love to talk. I can do this for days, man.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Wow.
For days.
Wow.
For days.
But that's a good thing, though.
But the listening part is cool, especially if you got something to say.
Yeah.
And I thought y'all hit all the high notes yesterday, come out of the gate running, and so I can respect it. I appreciate it, man. So congratulations to y'all on the new show, man, and I'm glad to be a part of it, man.
Every week.
We're going to do this.
Every week.
Look, I wouldn't have it any other way. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Let's go around the NFL right now, and I know you heard about this nonsense about this former NFL player getting on a plane and acting a fool a little bit. So former NFL player, former Colt, in fact, Gosser Cherilus, was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct. So he was on a flight, 40 years old, former first round pick, whatever. And he was on a flight from Logan International in Boston to Dublin.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was going to Dublin for. That was a question that I had in my head, but I was like, I guess I'll keep that to myself. But supposedly, allegedly, he had drunkenly hit one man and then kind of urinated on another passenger. He ultimately kind of put out an apology saying that he had taken a sleeping medication on the flight, and maybe that had added to his erratic behavior, let's say. Apologies in this situation are always very interesting, because when the story is as big as it is, or as like interesting as it is, we're all going to make our opinions, and I don't know that we are good at changing that, are we?
Well, so this is what I don't understand. Y'all help me with this.
Okay.
Why are people not more afraid of acting up on a flight?
That's a good question.
Maybe
they don't have home training on.
No, it's not even home training, though. Like, to me, for the past almost going on 25 years now, it's been flying has just been different.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, like, risking acting up on a flight, much less on an international flight, to me, it's just a step too far. I don't understand even risking this. Out of all the places to act bad, out of all the places to show your lack of home training, to do it in the air, to do it on the flight, I just do not.
Internationally.
Internationally. Like, I flew to Mexico a couple of months ago, and I was about to make a questionable decision. I don't know if we talked about this, but it occurred to me before I got on the flight to not do it. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that.
Not the best advice.
Because you know what I'm not going to do? Be caught in a Mexican prison.
Man, if there's one thing that you don't want to do is play one of them away games where you don't know none of the rules.
We're not doing it.
Yeah. Buddy.
We're not doing it.
You haven't seen no billboards for knowing numbers to call on who's going to come get you out? No.
Yeah. Ooh. So he owes an apology to whoever he offended on this flight. But like, just the idea of this is beyond me. Acting bad in the air.
I always feel bad passing judgment on these guys. Sure. Because to me, my immediate, and I'm sure I'm not alone, my immediate reaction is, dude got wasted and peed on someone. I mean, you know, but.
I mean, who amongst us, right?
Yeah. You know? But I also catch myself because, like, I've never had this reaction. Like, if I take medicine and let's say I have a drink or two, you know, because I don't care or whatever and I'm relaxed. I never have gone completely bonkers. But I know some people do.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's hard to parse.
And that's why I kind of like, I'm a little careful, like maybe he's telling the truth.
Yeah, his explanation that he put on Instagram reads as follows. I'd like to address the media reports about me that surfaced today regarding a situation that occurred on board a flight to Ireland this past weekend. The flight was unexpectedly delayed for approximately 4 hours, and it did not take off until 12:30 a.m. In preparation for the unexpected overnight flight, I took a sleeping medication that I don't normally use, which resulted in behavior that is not representative of my character. And I would like to apologize to the passenger and flight crew. Close quote.
So, look, I'm with you. I sympathize.
It's plausible.
Oh, no. It's believable. I can relate. I've seen this happen before. Somebody takes something that they've never taken before.
And it just hits them different.
That they shouldn't have
but
taken.
But I never go there first.
But also, they don't do it on a flight.
Well, that too, yes.
That's the thing. Like, I've seen this in school, right? Yeah. Like, I can remember in high school, the kids would take Xanax pills, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they would take two instead of one. And it's like, and now Johnny's sleeping on the floor, you know, and drooling all over himself. Right. And doing things that he's not going to remember when he comes to and that sort of thing. But, man, on a flight. Dude.
That's a conscious decision you're making.
Yeah.
On a flight.
Very, very, very rough. Very, very, very rough. But you know, I can sympathize with people who take a medicine that they're not familiar with and then they have behaviors that is not consistent with their actual personality and then stuff that they probably don't actually even remember doing.
Yeah.
Not a good feeling.
I guess the thing that we can ultimately all sympathize with is all the other people on the plane that had to, one, experience that, and two, have their flight return after a four-hour delay and being 1 hour in the air to land again in Boston and not where they were trying to get to.
Yeah, that stinks.
That's tough. Yeah. Some other things around the NFL. So, you know, obviously the Brandon Ayuk thing still is Ayuking, as he has not been traded. He is asked for a trade from the Niners, but we thought that there was a deal kind of put together with the Steelers, and we got more information on that courtesy of Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated saying that the Brandon Ayuk situation dragging on, that, you know, England obviously offered him more than $30 million, but he did not want to go there. He, you know, rejected that. Also rejected Cleveland. The Steelers' price point was less than $28 million, which is supposedly around where the Niners have been. And so now he's back at the negotiating table with the Niners. What do you make of the situation at this point?
So what's fun to me about this is that I cannot decide who has the most leverage in this situation in this regard. The Niners, in the sense that they do not have to do anything.
Yeah.
They don't have to get rid of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's under contract. He's a good football player. They're a good football team. They have all the motivation in the world to actually not trade Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're honest about it, if they were going to trade Brandon Ayuk, the sensible thing would have been to have done it back way before the draft.
Yeah.
Not now, when the asset that they're going to get back is not something that's going to be able to help them now, more than likely, unless they trade for players or something like that.
And obviously, they never wanted to.
Right. Yeah. Right. Brandon Ayuk has the small bit of leverage, but it could be a big thing, where he can just make things miserable if he wants. like he can just be a jerk.
And he is.
And that's his prerogative. Yeah. I mean, if he wants his money that much, he can make things miserable on the 49ers. And in that sense, like, okay, how much is a peace of mind worth to you? Which is a question we all have to ask ourselves at some point in life.
Absolutely.
What is peace of mind worth? Sometimes the dollar amount, it exceeds what you feel like it should, but because peace of mind is hard to put a dollar amount on, And so do the Niners just trade him for a peace of mind, or do they stick to their guns and say, hey, I don't care how miserable you make it. You're a good football player. You want to make this money. You're going to come out here and you're going to do this thing, and then you can get paid later.
Yeah.
Which, like, something's got to give there. What is it going to be? I'm just sitting here on the edge of my seat with popcorn, or if I'm Reginald, maybe not popcorn. Yeah, yeah. What would be your choice?
Mike and Ike's or something.
Mike and Ike's.
Yeah. Some Skittles.
Man, you're going to learn this about me. I haven't met a snack that I don't like.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm not going to discriminate against delicious snacks. All of them.
I'm
eating that, watching that.
I was telling Reginald before the show, and maybe this is just wrong, I'm just over it. Like, this has like kind of a poor man's Deshaun Watson vibe to it.
Ooh.
Like, staring contest, you do this, no, we're not going to do that. We have a standard that we're going to want to.
Are you telling Brandon Ayuk that he's not interesting enough for this standoff?
Yeah.
Like, you are not compelling enough of a guy.
Yes, that's what I'm
saying.
For
this to be happening right now.
I get it. And if I'm a Niners fan, I'm all in. But as an NFL fan, I'm like, I'm over this.
Well, I don't even know if he's not compelling enough as a guy in that. Like, I think it's more that I don't think his reasoning seems compelling enough, or at least we don't have enough insight into his, because it doesn't seem to make sense. Is it about the money? Because there's money elsewhere. Is it about the winning? Because the winning is there. And there's been an opportunity to go to a place that maybe you could meet in the middle with winning and money.
Yeah.
I haven't found which one of those actually makes sense to him.
Doesn't it sound like or feel like he's hurt? Like, he wants,
for sure.
To your question,
yeah,
he wants the money there.
Yeah.
He's like, right? I want to be here, but you got to pay me.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't want to go to New England for the bag because he doesn't feel like he's going to win there, and I can understand that. He doesn't want to go, you know, elsewhere. Like, he doesn't want to get the bag and not win, and he doesn't want to win and not get the bag. He wants to be where his feet are at and get the bag. Like, so I think he's hurt. Because he's seen the money go around now. They've paid other guys. And he feels like right or wrong, he feels like he's just as important to that whole equation as these other guys that they have paid. And so he feels a way about it. And I can understand that, even if I also understand the Niner side of saying, hey, we'll pay you 28, 30, whatever it is, but we're not going to pay you 35.
Right? Yeah.
You know, like, I get that.
And look, he's not wrong in some regards. He is very valuable to what they do. Mm-hmm. He just, you know. If you're trying to, I do sympathize with him in this one way. Man, he's out here trying to get somebody to show him a level of respect that they're not willing to do. And if that's your like end game, like, I've seen a lot of people in life try and do that, and I don't think it works out all that well. So more power to him in trying to find a way to get them to appreciate him the way that he wants them to appreciate
him. I'll say this, and maybe I'm not a good negotiator for saying this. But if I was the Niners, I would try to find a way to pay this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, they should.
Oh, yeah.
I would try to find a way to make this work. I wouldn't play hardball. I wouldn't try to, like, I can respect sticking to your guns and being principled and all of that.
That window was only so large for them.
Yeah. If it's me, again, like you said, the window is only but so large. They've already taken a few swings and missed. I would pay this guy because we can acknowledge that he's probably the least important out of the most important players on that team.
Mm-hmm.
But he still makes them a very unique team in the fact that they don't have many weaknesses. And Brandon, the absence of Brandon Ayuk without replacing him with somebody similar like that.
Which I don't know that they have.
Yeah.
There you go. There would then be the weakness in their team. He is part of what makes them such a complete and dynamic team.
Yeah.
Possibly the weakness or the strength, depending on how you view him, of the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa was talking. He talked with the Dan Le Batard show there in Miami about former head coach Brian Flores. And it was kind of interesting to see what happened there in Miami with them.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. You are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. How would it make you feel listening to one or the other? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. And it was, I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but, you know, a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
This is just awful.
And it's very Bill O'Brien.
Yes.
Very, very Bill O'Brien. Like, it's amazing. We've seen it. We've heard it. We know it. And what tree does Brian Flores come off of?
Oh, yeah. The Bill Belichick. It's them. To your Bill O'Brien point, it is another example of a lot of those guys trying to emulate, trying to be the next Bill Belichick. They watch how Bill Belichick's temperament was, how he went about it and thought they could replicate that, or at least thought that was the way to do it once they finally got their shot.
Yeah.
We've seen all those stories. How the back and forth went with the sort of love-hate relationship with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And these other guys go to these other places. And
Matt Patricia, we hear with his backward hat pencil in his ear telling people what to do.
Yeah. And they're going to replicate that with whatever quarterback they got, and they're going to be Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. They're going to berate the quarterback. They're going to, you know, kill his confidence and all this other sort of thing. And I think there's a lot to what McDaniel's doing and what Tua is saying. In terms of leadership, like, you get more out of constructive criticism and building your people up. I think it's this antiquated idea that you got to be this hard ass or beat somebody up in order to get a response. I do think there are certain people who are like that need a little bit more of a kick in the tail to get going. But by and large, most people need positive reinforcements and to, at the very least, just like want to go to work.
Right.
You know, just to just be pleasant to be around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do find it interesting to, like, just in general, if you want somebody to do well, like, I think that showing them a matter of love, unless you just, like, don't like them as a human being, which I don't know how much that is the dynamic that we're talking about here, because I don't know that Tua was speaking about it in such a way where it was like, that guy didn't like me in particular as a human.
No, this was just his style.
It was just his style, because he also mentioned that there's some other dudes there as well. That have dealt with that. And I'm just like, yo, I don't know how you intend to be successful, especially because if you're trying to be Bill Belichick, one of the things that we know made that palatable is people would go and they'd put up with that because they knew for certain that they were going to have a chance to win.
And most people who talk about Brian Flores do like Brian Flores. It's not like he's an unpopular guy. I know there was the lawsuit and there's maybe some people that felt a way about that.
He knows ball too. Everybody
knows ball. Yeah. By and large, a popular guy, but apparently his leadership style is not one that was suited for Tua.
I don't think either of you two guys would disagree with this. I'm not talking about tough love. I'm talking about just being a noxious, toxic, berating person.
Sure.
There's a big difference. Yeah. Like, we've all had tough love, and we end up, you know, really enamored with that person and respecting that person that has given us tough love. But I'm talking about just a noxious person that is toxic. And just berates you. That's just not going to work.
The issue with a lot of people like that, though, is that sometimes they think what they're doing is the tough love.
Yeah.
When it comes off as and actually is just being obnoxious. Like, they're either masking it or genuinely believe that it's tough love.
Oh, no, I'm just honest.
It's
But you know what? No, but you're just a jerk.
Yeah.
And I don't like you. That's what it is. The hell with your intentions, man.
You're just a jerk.
The results are, I don't like you.
Right.
Go away.
And 281 encapsulates it fantastically. The old saying, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Succinctly put.
There you go. B. Scott in the studio here on In the Loop. He's still hanging around. And don't worry, you didn't miss the intro. You will get that here coming up next, especially because let's talk about the 2022 draft class for these Texans and how that is the important thing to watch.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Watch right now.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
You hear the music. The man's in studio. Brandon K. Scott. B. Scott, as you know him, hanging out with In the Loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig. I am Reginald Atitula. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Tuesday. Man, we are having a blast in here.
It's fun.
I kind of wanted the commercial to run longer. We were having a good conversation, but we'll bring it to air. As B. Scott wants to talk about this 2022 draft class. It's an important facet of this Texans team. And look, there's every single one of them is in a vital kind of like crossroads almost in their career. And so let's talk about them. And I think one of the big ones, I think, is Dameon Pierce right now.
Yeah, I think Dameon Pierce is the big one that stood out from Saturday. Yeah. And so I think that's the most relevant conversation. But I love how this falls into the conversation y'all were having earlier, like me wanting to talk about the 2022 class and this idea of somebody being on the hot seat for the Texans. For me, it's actually an interesting question for a team that has such high expectations, and overall the conversation around them is a positive one.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, the hot seat, man, a team that's about to go to the playoffs, that could win its division, right, that's got Super Bowl aspirations. Ain't nobody on the hot seat. Everybody is like eating and thriving.
Mm-hmm,
and
for
so,
sure.
So I really had to think about it. But to me, the answer is the 2022 draft class in varying degrees, like varying degrees of hot. Right. Like, yeah, the, like for some, it's more simmering than others,
okay,
you know, but if you go down the list, I think everybody is running their own race and on their own level of a hot seat. Mm-hmm. Think about Derek Stingley Jr. He's not on any kind of hot seat,
no,
in terms of job security,
how good he is
or how good he is.
Yeah.
We don't have those sort of questions, but it's like he still hasn't had that fully healthy season.
Mm-hmm.
He still hasn't had that season where he's completely available to you and therefore able to live up to the expectations that's been on him since he was a freshman at LSU.
Yeah.
So, like, this is the year where if you are somebody, and I count myself in this category, somebody that believes in Derek Stingley, this is the year that you're praying that he stays healthy, or at least is healthy enough and not limited to where he can have that season where he's available, where, yeah, he can live up to the expectation. So, mm-hmm, it's probably the coldest of the hot seats, but it is somewhat of a hot seat in my mind. I gave y'all Kenyon Green on the text line,
yeah,
earlier.
Yes, you did.
Just because I wanted to have the conversation. I wanted to contribute to the conversation. But I don't think it's just him alone. Again, mm-hmm, I'm going through this whole clash,
for
right?
Sure.
But he's on an obvious hot seat, and I think that one's different from Titus Howard, the way you brought up Lopez.
Yeah.
Because Kenyon Green's the one that hasn't gotten the second contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first round pick. He should be rich for the rest of his life, being, right, a first round pick and all of that. But everybody wants that second contract, right?
For sure, 100%.
And Kenyon Green is now in year three, and he's got 1 year where it didn't go so well,
yeah,
and a second year that hopefully it worked out for him being away, but he ain't played at all last year.
Right.
So to me, it's like, okay, 1 year up and down, not so good. The next year, you're not available to us at all. To me, that's an obvious hot seat answer. So, like, if you start with the first round picks, like, we're talking hot seat.
Yeah. Then
Jalen Petrie, John Metchie, Damian Pierce, I think is the one that's most relevant to the weekend because he's the one that we're probably least confident is going to be on the team out of all of these guys.
Right.
Right. Like, Christian Harris, I think, is not on the hot seat because, like, he hasn't been out there, but the last time we saw him, he was really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to me, every one of these guys, to some degree, is on some level of hot seat.
Well, I mean, let D'Amico Ryans tell it. Like, there's not a ton necessarily that he's judging off of this weekend when it comes to Damian Pierce. He was, in fact, the head coach of the Texans asked about the first team running attack.
Yeah, no, not sure how many rushes we had for our first unit. I know we had one outside zone play that we mistargeted a guy. We missed a guy, so a guy was free in the hole on one. And then another probably, you know, missed a run where we could have been downhill. But, you know, overall, I think it's with our O-line, our tight ends, and how it's hard to judge off a couple runs. I think we threw the ball a lot with our first team, so there weren't really many runs to judge, and I don't want to, you know, judge our team off of two runs. That's unfair to, you know, make a a judgment off of two runs.
If you're watching on YouTube, you see me shaking my head.
You believe that, Lopez? Yeah. You believe what he said?
We love you, D'Amico, but
it's Cap.
Cap
for Cap.
Hey, that's his name.
Cap. I mean,
they call him Cap for a reason.
they call him a different kind of Cap for a reason.
Also, here's four runs.
Here's the thing, guys. Hey,
you think he don't know that? You think D'Amico Ryans?
What?
Did not keep chucking
Mike
the
linebacker,
dude,
captain of the team since he was a rookie, all pro, attention to detail, maniac like that. Don't know how many runs they had.
Dude, this was yesterday. This wasn't Saturday after the game.
D'Amico.
This was yesterday.
You know how many times y'all ran the ball.
And he said two. He also dropped a two in there. I don't know how many.
A couple.
I don't know how many runs we had. What, did we have two? He knows what the blocking assignment was, how many runs they had, how many runs they could have had.
He also knows who the first team running attack was because it's only one guy.
It's only one guy.
We had a stretch play that could have did this and could have done that. He's got all these details on these other plays, but he don't know how many runs they had.
I listened to this, and the first thing is, like, even D'Amico was running out of excuses. Like, D'Amico is the king of trying to prop up these guys, and that's not a criticism. Like he's like, okay, because he wants to build confidence and all that. He's the head coach. And even he's like, I don't know how many we really ran. Yes, you do. You absolutely do.
And to have, obviously, to know the game the way he does, and to have the detail on the plays, and to say, like, I'm not going to make much. You think he's not evaluating on every reps within a rep?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this is about. That's the difference between him, his staff, and the rest of us, right? Like, they can tell all of the little things that we can't see. You think I'm supposed to believe that he's not gaining every little piece of knowledge from every blocking assignment, misread, read that's taken advantage of? Come on, man. I know better than that.
I mean, it's clear that they're trying to give Damian Pierce as much room to succeed. And, I mean, even if you want to be as cynical as possible, as much room to continue to boost his value if you need to send him somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's, you realize how far he has to go, how much he has to reach.
Talk about reaching.
The crazy amounts of Olympic-level stretching that he has to do to get to that place to still allow room for Damian Pierce.
Yeah, but
it feels like he might be.
That's kind of where I was going. Go ahead.
But I think this is the charm of D'Amico Ryans, or the reason why he fits and works or makes so much sense for a team, because he's a former player and kind of understands the pulse of the team, the tenor of the locker room. And Damian Pierce, as we know, is a likable dude.
Yes.
I think a favorite, not just amongst fans and media, but also amongst his teammates. And that's somebody, I don't want to say that you want to handle with kid gloves, but you want to be respectful and you want to be mindful of how everybody else views him and feels about him. And you don't want to just be talking any old kind of way about
him. Well, let me ask you,
of course.
Let me ask you about this, though. Sorry. Like, kind of where I went is where what you're talking about, Reggie, is like, he's being vague, you know, on purpose. He's being sort of not stating the obvious, not altogether forthcoming is the word I was looking for, because I'm wondering, does he already know where this is going to end up? And he's just trying to not, like, you know, dump on the guy.
I mean, like B. Scott clearly laid out, he is a perceptive dude. He would not be in this position if he wasn't, right? He is very good at what he does. I'm sure that he has some feelings, but you're right. And the YouTube mentions this. Like, he's not trying to dog out his player. I think that there's probably, like, a middle ground somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to erring on the side of being, you know, player friendly, being supportive. Yes. We were just talking about the Brian Flores Tua Tagovailoa situation, right? And catching more flies with honey than vinegar. If you have any possibility as a Hail Mary of getting Dameon Pierce to the place where he is successful again and looking like that rookie year and better, it's probably going to be giving him the most, you know, lowering the temperature, making the block as cold as possible for him.
And also, when you're in his position, when you're in D'Amico Ryan's position, what benefit is it to you to, like, hammer home the obvious? Like, I think what's happening with Dameon Pierce doesn't necessarily take a sophisticated football eye to detect.
No, it does not.
It's not. It's just not happening right now. It's not working. So, like, what does he need to say to pile on? Like, what? I mean, we're obviously going to have our conversations about it, but it's just so transparent and painfully obvious that he's struggling. He doesn't. He probably understands that he doesn't need to just come out here and be like, hey, he's struggling.
Yeah.
Just watch the game.
Yeah.
The man's is not doing well.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I think in his mind, maybe, and this is just me speculating, he's kind of like, I'm going to build him up. We'll see what he does. But the decision may already be made. I mean, keep in mind, he's got the joint practice on Thursday.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
So,
I mean, that's going to be third teamers on Saturday.
So on the discussion about this class, I did find it really interesting how there was a complete narrative flip. And I don't think this is about us being wishy-washy or flip-flopping. I think it was based off of the way things played out on Saturday that we went into that game unsure if John Metchie had a space on this team, unsure of, like, what his status would be on the roster, to feeling like, based off of how he played, it'd be hard to imagine him not being on this team, but also feeling like, hey, Dameon Pierce is struggling, but he's going to be on this team.
Exactly.
Right. It's just a matter of how many carries is he going to get? Is he just a return guy? What's his role going to be? But Dameon Pierce is going to be on the team. So completely flipping that, I feel like, to where it's like, man, does Dameon Pierce have a role on this team?
Absolutely.
Special teams or not? Like, does he even have a role? And I don't think, again, that's about being wishy-washy. That's about having, like, this sobering moment.
Yeah.
This sort of reality check of where they sort of sit in their position group. And then, of course, Jalen Petrie having that moment.
Right.
You're like, okay, that will be interesting how they use him. He's on a different kind of hot seat, I think, because he's having a position change. But all of these guys with interesting individual storylines and narratives.
Yeah, generally, as we're looking, like you said, we're going to be watching this over the course of the season, obviously, and leading into the season. But generally, positive, kind of middle of the road feelings, or maybe even negative on the class going into this year?
Yeah, I would say overwhelmingly positive, because there's only one or two guys that you got the questions about. And I think the part about Derek Stingley and Kenyon Green, like those, especially if those things are working out, that's big for you. The big thing that I would hammer home, just this point.
Yes.
After year three is a lot of times when the NFL, when the league has the book written on you.
Yeah.
Like, some guys peak early, some guys peak late. But generally speaking, after year three, that's when it's decided who you are. And I think that's why, another reason why this is a pivotal year for all of them.
There you go. B. Scott dropping knowledge, dropping bombs is why
always.
We love having him right here in the loop. Obviously, you listen in the loop. Coming up next, let's do a little What's Poppin'.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
What's poppin' right now? B. Scott in studio. Within the Loop,
that's
as
right.
He always will be on a Tuesday in the 11 o'clock hour. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Man.
John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Adetula, and you, the Sports Radio 610 listener. Let's talk about what's popping. And, of course, the big thing that happened yesterday was a big thing with Yainer Diaz in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, man, it had a silent.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
that's how
Here's Yainer Diaz.
Here we go.
Yainer hits one high. Ball. Game over. Jordan said something
the Yiner on his way back to the dugout, and Yiner crushed one for the winner.
Hey, bartender, I need a little extra in this one. That is a beautiful Yiner bomb.
5-4 victory, walk-off. Yiner Diaz's first walk-off home run in his career, second walk-off hit. Wild game. Like, the first, that was the only lead that the Astros had in the game. Lot of four errors in the course of it. What was your main takeaway, Brandon?
What you just said, man, yeah. How they were able to persevere, overcome, man, make this happen. Lopez, despite getting in their own way, four errors in the game. Like, this was a dreadful game to watch, if I'm being honest with you, until the very end. Like,
oh,
this,
yeah.
This was a rough watch. Mm-hmm. And they're able to come out of it. And for it to be Yiner Diaz, who I think has been, I would say, up and down this year. But, like, I'm glad to have dude. Like, to me, to go from, you know, the catcher spot being an automatic out, mm-hmm, to feeling like you've got the potential to end the game in a situation like that. I know Yiner Diaz sometimes does some baffling things at the plate. I know he can be a frustrating player at times.
Yeah.
But overall, a young dude who's a promising player, I think this is moments like these are big for young players. They don't forget their first walk-off home run.
Yeah.
You know, in a moment like this, in a game like that, again, where you have to overcome your own faults, get out of your own way. To me, it was a special night for the Astros.
Well, it was special for me because, and I was mentioning this with the guys earlier, like, they had no right winning that game. And you touched on it with the errors. You touched on how ugly it was and all that. And yet they won the game. And it's more because, like, you got to give Joe Espada a little credit. You got to give him some credit. And we didn't quite know what to make of him at first. Then we were, like, doubtful about his managerial, you know, prowess. And then he kind of came around a little bit. Like, that was the type of game, the way he had his hands on the dials, the way he moved people around, the way they approached the game, that we wouldn't have seen from Dusty. And that's not shade on Dusty. That's just, like, it was different.
Well, so, you know? I've always had confidence in Joe Espada's baseball acumen. The questions came up for me earlier in the year when things seemed to be falling off a cliff. Mm-hmm. Like, there was calamity.
Seemed to be.
And I didn't know, without him being in that role before, I didn't know if he had the leadership skills or experience to guide them out of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exactly sure whether he did or not. I think that just eventually they got healthy, they started playing better. And again, his baseball acumen, independent of all of those other things, I've always felt good about. So to me, this is kind of just the perfect,
yeah,
sort of storm of events, so to speak.
Well, Astros back in action, looking to make it 12 out of the last 13. When they face off against the Red Sox, Ronel Blanco on the bump. In fact, 4-0 against the Red Sox this season. I think they've won their last 7 against the Red Sox. So that's also a thing that they can keep going in a good way. Some other things that are popping as we talk to our Texas insider, B. Scott, here in the loop.
That's right.
Texans add a year to Jimmy Ward's contract. And, I mean, if you just, like, look at that and you go, wait, what happened, right? Like, this 33-year-old safety, but, I mean, very vital to what you do defensively. What'd you make of that?
So, this surprised me and did catch me off guard because I thought, like, if I were to go outside of the 2022 draft class, which I think is the most compelling hot seat conversation, I thought Jimmy Ward would have fit that conversation if we were to have it, you mm-hmm. know? But obviously, he's not. You know, they've added this year. So it surprised me to see it. But it doesn't surprise me from the standpoint of
the play,
I think the value that D'Amico gotcha. Ryans has on what Jimmy Ward brings to the defense, both in his play and the mentality, the locker room, sort of like the attitude. Some of the things that maybe we don't like about Jimmy Ward in training camp, like his propensity to take out his own guys and like only knowing one speed and one way to play. We're like, hey, man, say that for the other team.
Yeah.
Those are, I think, some of the same things that D'Amico Ryans, just like they're emblematic of some of the same things that D'Amico Ryans values. And I think Nick Caserio value about what he brings to the team. And so,
and to that point, I think this was a job well done contract. Like, they gave him 5.2 or something new right. money.
Yeah.
And I think it was just like, here's you've earned this, you know. And I'm sure he was asking for it and his agent was asking for it. And they're like,
and that would be something that I don't disagree that may be how they feel.
Yeah.
I would disagree with that feeling, though.
Oh, yeah.
That he's earned an extra year on his contract or a pay bump based off of what he's provided so far, unless it's something more intangible.
I think they just value him like that.
And I think that's what it is.
And I do wonder if, like, to juxtapose this with, we were talking Brandon Ayuk's situation in San Francisco. I do wonder if this is like, hey, mentality situation. Let's make sure we take care of the dudes
that
take care of us on the field.
And from a Texans fan perspective, I can remember, and Lopez, you know this too, man. Like, there has been conversation in the past about not having enough dogs, not having enough, like, those types of guys.
Yep.
And he's one of those. Like, so if you're a fan who long for those types of guys on your roster, this is an example of Texans brass valuing that type of dude.
All right. We mentioned the Astros walk-off. There was some Astros news that came out, though, yesterday. First of all, Alex Bregman, again, missed another game. However, he did hit and take ground balls, and apparently he was telling Joe Espada to put me in. So does that give you confidence that this is not going to be one of those situations where, oh, nothing's happening, and then all of a sudden you get an IL stint?
Yeah, so if it wasn't – maybe if it wasn't the Astros, and honestly, maybe if it wasn't Alex Bregman, who up until recently has had a tough injury run, you know, and we're removed from that now, but we're all old enough to remember it. So those two elements, like me kind of being uncomfortable with knowing Alex Bregman's injury history of the past, and then it's the Astros, man. We can't trust a word that they say about injuries ever. As much as we love all of their success and all of the moments that they give us, we can't believe nothing they say about injuries.
So there's that. Speaking of injuries, Luis Garcia will not throw a single pitch this season. He is shut down.
Good. I mean, I don't want to see him at this point. And nothing against him, nothing the value that he might bring. I just don't feel like he was so much further away from than Verlander. And Verlander, you could kind of feel, was coming along. And it's just removed from surgery.
You say good, but you better thank Ronel Blanco.
Yeah.
You better
Hunter
Brown.
Kikuchi.
You say Kikuchi as of late.
Yeah.
You better thank Spencer Arrighetti for figuring things out.
Mm-hmm. Buddy, did he figure some things
out. Hey, you better thank these other cats for figuring it out and showing up, because otherwise that would be a big, like, that's a story in and of itself, how you're able to get the news that Luis Garcia is not going to pitch for you this year. And you're like, oh, okay.
That's cool.
We good. All right.
It's true.
See you next year, Luis.
It's true.
It's all good. Yeah. I mean, that in and of itself is a victory for the Astros. So, you know, shout out to that pitching staff for getting it together, man.
Another victory as we talk about injured pitchers, one that's returning, Justin Verlander, will make his return to the team.
Feels like a debut.
Yeah.
It does. Tomorrow, he'll pitch in the day game, and we'll actually be out at Twin Peaks.
Come watch it with us.
Katy Freeway, right over there by Kirkwood.
So tomorrow? Yeah.
Yeah, man. They got us on the streets immediately.
There you go.
Come say hey, man.
Go meet the people.
Come say hey.
I'm excited. Yeah. And see a fantastic pitcher do his work, ply his trade. I just want to remind you, our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Now, Lopez, you were in on this one when we talk about what's popping. Carmelo Anthony, who, you know, maybe up until this particular Olympiad or Games of the Olympiad, was the greatest Olympic basketball player in U.S. history, I think. And that says something when you consider the dudes that have played in that. Well, I imagine that probably factors into his perspective on the Olympics and an Olympic gold medal, because he was saying that the Olympic gold medal matters more. Quote, 3 gold medals, 4 medals for me is bigger than the NBA championship. You buying that? You selling that?
I'm buying it.
Yeah.
I'm buying it. And I think this Olympics went a long way toward kind of rekindling Olympic spirit, if you will, not to get too hokey. But I
agree with you, though.
I think the vibes were high.
Yeah.
Not only the vibes, but I think the importance of a gold medal. I think we've had very clear indications. It means more to a lot of people than a championship. Now, you might think, hell, an NBA championship? No, I think the Olympic medal does mean more.
Well, and also, I think generally, whatever country you're from, the Olympic team is by and large made up of your basketball players' favorite basketball players. Mm-hmm. And so, like, whatever, and I'm not saying there's no politics involved in the Olympics. There obviously is.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown will have to come talk to you about that.
Yeah, no, 100%. So I don't want to give off that impression, but there is a there is a who's who-ness of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It really felt like that here when you have LeBron and Steph playing together and then Katie and Anthony Edwards being inseparable. Like, it really got back to almost the... this is kind of blasphemy, I understand. Like, a little Dream Team feel where you had, like, these guys...
No, you're not alone saying that.
That's not blasphemous at all.
Yeah, you're not alone saying that.
It had those vibes, and I think going to the Carmelo point, similar to that, you know, with him being on the team with LeBron and Wade and Kobe coming through, like, I mean... again, your favorite, and Melo falls in that line too, right? Like, people have their feelings about Carmelo and him not being a winner or a champion, man. Go ask Hoopers about Melo, about the guys that they value and who they think highly of. Melo's going to be pretty high on that list. He understands that. Yeah. And I think the Olympics and his Olympic resume is also reflective.
So you guys would agree if you were in that situation?
I'm still not sure that I completely agree, but I understand where he's coming from. And, like, I think that it matters, right? He went as far as to say not everybody wins a gold medal. Of course, he wants an NBA championship and so on and so forth. And, of course, it's also very convenient that he says this because he is in that place where he has three or four gold medals. And he does – or three golds, four medals total – but he does not have the NBA championship.
If I were Melo, I would not feel like less than because I didn't win a chance. If I accomplished all of the things that Melo accomplished, I won a natty with Syracuse, and I won all these gold medals. I'm one of the greater scorers of all time. I'm rich as hell.
No, he's not less than.
Yeah, no, I did that.
Especially when circumstances shift the way that this happened. Now, he did put himself in some of those circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to be in New York, and he also didn't wait till free agency. He made them trade and lost them value there. Like,
he's got his shortcomings.
You mentioned, and you're right, I always love the idea of who are the players' favorite players because they have a understanding and a knowledge, and he's one of those guys that is widely respected. He's got that that level of love. There you go. That's what's popping here on a Tuesday in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. B. Scott, it is a pleasure, man.
Hey, man, I'm a little biased, but I think this first hour with y'all went pretty good, man. I feel pretty good about it.
I think you're underselling it. I think it went pretty damn great to myself.
Great.
I think it went pretty good, man. I'm looking forward to next week, man.
Thank goodness for B. Scott. Excellent.
Y'all keep it up, man.
There you go. Coming up next, though, let's get into this. And honestly, if I could get B. Scott to do a little overtime, I would, because this is a fascinating thing. What will make or break the Texans' defense being elite this year? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.